Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
We got a message in here from Lightbrows of Hardin. He says, how large would our national debt be if this fraud stopped? I'm sure it would be a lot less. Americans don't understand how people in third world countries live. All cultures are not equal. If you believe they are, you are the problem. Now, this is a very, very important comment here from Lightbrows, because as I understand from Aaron Flint, Lightbrows has been there, done that. He is a, like they say in Goodfellas, a friend of ours. He has served overseas and knows of what he speaks, as do I. I served overseas for 10 years in Afghanistan, in South America, in some of the worst places in the world. I didn't just visit there. I didn't just fly through there for a little pit stop, you know, for a week or a month or 90 days. I lived there. And so I know of what I speak as well. That's the problem. We hit that a little bit yesterday on the show about cultures, and just about how cultures even view crime and theft, things like that. They don't think of it the way you do, the way Americans do. They think of it as, if you can get away with it, good on you. There's no moral implications to them with it at all. It's just, now if you get caught, that's bad. You know, you don't want to go to jail and all that good stuff. But yeah, if you can get away with it, good on you. If they leave it out there for you, if they leave it out there on the porch, shame on them is how they see it. And got here also breaking news from libs of TikTok. We hit this maybe 3 weeks ago on Aaron's show, and we hit it out here on social media as well, because this Somali fraud started really hitting the big time here about 3 weeks ago, hitting the major media. And we talked about reports of all of this cash that Somalis had been scamming, particularly there out of Minnesota. Well, people there in airports had been watching it go out of the country in big suitcases, headed directly back to Somalia. And then, of course, you might have heard the reports of how it's funding terrorism over there, the Al-Shabaab terror network. Well, the one I had heard was a former detective out of the Seattle Police Department was reporting that he had seen these people flying out of from Minnesota, Seattle, and then to internationally from there with these suitcases full of cash. He had witnessed it himself. Well, we got more reports now coming out on libs of TikTok from TSA people in Phoenix. And we'll get to that here in just a second.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay at around 50. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, temperatures will bottom out in the lower to middle 30s. And then the outlook for Thursday does call for a mix of clouds and sunshine, as high temperature readings will stay back into the upper 40s and lower 50s around the region. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We've got on the line here, we've got Fred in the Flathead. What's going on, Fred? Fred, are you there? All right, we see Fred on hold. Fred, if you've got yourself on hold, take yourself off hold. All right, we'll get back to Fred here. What we were talking about before the break was this new news about more of our money going out of the country, being couriered by these Somali criminals. And we had heard back 3 weeks ago from a retired detective from the Seattle Police Department that they'd seen people going suitcases full of money. Minneapolis, Seattle, and points international from there. We've got a report this morning from Libs of TikTok. Says, I just received a message from a TSA agent in Phoenix who tells me a Somali man with a Minnesota driver's license flies through Phoenix every 7 to 10 days with a suitcase of around $250,000. He told the agents that families in Minnesota send cash back to Sudan and Somalia through Dubai, and he is the registered courier. And the message is here, they admit this, that they're sending this back and it's distributed through Dubai. They're tracking this at over $1 billion just right now. Now, I want you to imagine this is one guy that's been flagged out of the Phoenix airport, flying through Phoenix. And they had one guy that I heard about flag through Seattle. How many more are there? How many more of these couriers are taking our tax money, our defrauded tax money, back over to a fifth world terror stronghold and distributing it to terror networks? And occasionally, as you're seeing, they get caught. And no one does anything about it. Just imagine, because I could tell you as retired law enforcement, when we come up on something, we manage to, like TSA has done, or like Seattle police did, manages to catch a guy like this, come up on him, that means there's 10 more of them coming through that airport, that particular airport, that we never saw, that we never caught. You can't even imagine the scale of the amount of crooked, stolen money that's then going out of our country over to support terror in a fifth world country. Let's see, we got a message right here from Barbara in Billings. She says, yesterday you talked about churches and evangelicals not participating. I think she's talking about in getting out the vote. Churches are 501c3 nonprofit tax-exempt organizations. The IRS can put churches out of business for talking politics. We need repentance to turn back to the founding principles of the country. Yeah, that's that. True enough, Barbara, that the churches are supposed to be non-political because they do have that nonprofit tax-exempt status. And yeah, that's where, you know the age-old thing about we have to follow the rules and the other side doesn't. Because you flat out know that Democrat-affiliated churches and religious organizations out there, they have zero problem preaching the gospel of Democrats and urging all of their people right there from the pulpit to go vote for their candidates. But our people are not supposed to do that. And you are technically risking your nonprofit status when you do something like that. But then that's yet another thing. Do you know anybody out there that's ever had their tax-exempt status revoked? I don't know of anybody. And most governments, most administrations, be they Republican or Democrat, are very, very hesitant to go after a church. just because of the obvious optics of it. The whole thing just has a nasty look to it, and it would probably take some very, very extreme activity from this church for a government to get involved. It's just one of those things where you're expected, to behave a certain way. Right? People just expect that you will behave that way, but when you don't, there's not much that anybody's going to do about it. Right? It's one of those unfortunate things. It's just like these judges that are appointed to lifetime terms, and even some of them that are elected judges that you just expected, but by who these people were, that they're going to behave a certain way, but when they don't, unfortunately, there's just not much you can do about it. That shouldn't be in our society, but it just is, and it's one of those things where, like, say, in a church, people just have to walk away from those churches when they're doing that. But see, I think what Greg Franks was talking about yesterday, which I agree with, is that you're not going to have a Tim Sheehy sign on the pulpit there at your church, but you will be preaching the gospel as written in the Bible about principles that indeed are conservative. And if people are paying attention, if your constituents are paying attention, they will get the message.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins signed a new memorandum outlining future priorities for USDA-funded research and development with a renewed focus on putting farmers and ranchers first. The plan shifts federal research dollars towards practical solutions aimed at improving farm profitability, expanding domestic and international markets, and strengthening the long-term resilience of U.S. agriculture. USDA says future research will emphasize reducing input costs, advancing mechanization and automation, and creating new uses for U.S. commodities, including bio-based products and bioenergy. The strategy also highlights protecting American agriculture from invasive pests and diseases, promoting soil health and water use efficiency, and improving human health through precision nutrition and higher quality food. Administration officials say the new approach moves away from previous research priorities tied to DEI and environmental justice, arguing those efforts divert resources from real-world challenges facing producers. Secretary Rollins says the updated research roadmap builds on the Land-Grant University System's legacy of innovation and is designed to keep U.S. farmers competitive while ensuring a safe, abundant, and affordable food supply for consumers. Happy New Year's Eve, everyone. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We were talking about, here we are on New Year's Eve, and what are the biggest stories? What are the biggest stories of the last year? What were those huge, huge stories that were not just one day, 2 day, little blips, but something that has implications and has effects still to right now, and that are going to have implications far beyond 2025. Obviously, my first one, I think, is a very, very obvious one, is we have the inauguration of Donald Trump as president back January a year ago. An incredible, almost right out of a movie story, where you would have a man who, I don't think that's ever been done before, at least I don't know that in my lifetime, a president who served one term, then had an election stolen from him in 2020, is then indicted and persecuted by a weaponized government for the next 4 years, and then comes back to win a second term as president after surviving an assassination attempt. Well, actually, two assassination attempts. Just a really, really amazing stuff that he ever won and was then inaugurated back in January. Then I see a list here that some people have compiled. One would be the L.A. wildfires. You remember that. That was back January 7th. Horrible, destroying houses everywhere in the Pacific Palisades and Malibu and all that. A fire that just was allowed to run crazy because of the incompetence of California officials out there and their wildfire response and their filling of reservoirs with water and all that. And as I know of, as of today, there's hardly anything being rebuilt out there. And Adam Carolla, comedian Adam Carolla, he called this. He said right off the bat, because he lives out there and he's also been a builder out there, and he said no matter what they say, they're not going to let people build back there. They're just not going to do it. And there's reports also that the California government stepped in with $100 billion and bought up a bunch of it for subsidized housing. You watch. Here next year this time, a year from now, there will also probably be very, very little movement. And it's designed to do that because, see, these California eco nuts out there, they don't want you on that beach. They don't want you there. They think that's for the spotted owl and the two-legged grouse. They don't want humans there. And so what they're going to do, and Adam Carolla described this, they're going to run you through a gamut of permitting that is so lengthy and so expensive that even the rare people out there that could afford it, the ultra rich, will just throw up their hands and say, screw this, we're out of here. We're just not doing this. We can't wait around for 2 and 3 years or more to have a place to live, to be able to rebuild our home. Live in an apartment somewhere, live in a hotel, and put up with this bureaucratic crap from California. Another one, I guess we had 3 back-to-back plane crashes. That was kind of scary stuff, and it had people everywhere wondering, hey, what's going on here? That's, you know, when you get up in that aircraft and it's all out of your hands now, and it's not like driving a car where you can maybe control something that's going to go on in front of you, and you control your own destiny in a lot of ways with how you drive. But yeah, you're helpless up there, and you just hope that everything with your pilot and with your aircraft is going how it should. Then you had Gene Hackman and his wife die in their home. That was a big loss to, you know, iconic actor that had been in so many roles for 50 years that were just classics. And one of those actors that I think everybody loved, no matter what role he was in. And he was highly thought of by not only fans, but by his friends out there. The trial of Karen Reed. Y'all remember that? That was a big thing for a couple of months up there in Boston, where she was found not guilty of murdering her Boston police officer boyfriend. I saw that. Did you guys see that piece on that on the streaming services where they did kind of a documentary where they were following the trial and following her? And, oh, boy, it sure looked like that case was bungled in a lot of ways by the police there. And it doesn't look like they really had the evidence against her. They didn't have it beyond a reasonable doubt. But boy, she sure looked guilty as hell, didn't she? Another one of the stories, the big ones out there from last year, was the Texas flooding. You guys remember that was back on July 4th, a just crazy, catastrophic flood hit Kerr County, Texas. Had over 130 people killed, and you remember that Camp Mystic, the Christian all-girls camp that got swept away in this, and a bunch of their girls were killed in this thing. You know, very, very young kids. It was just catastrophic and very, very sad. You guys remember Brian Koberger? He was the guy that killed those girls on the University of Idaho. He ends up pleading guilty. Yeah, that was another big story. And I think that captured the imagination of the American public because of just the nature of the murders. But the fact that he fled and he was a fugitive for a while and couldn't be caught, I think that's what captured people's imagination on that. Then we had another trial. We had the trial of Sean Diddy Combs. And he was convicted on two counts of transportation for the purposes of prostitution. He was acquitted on the other most serious charges. He's now in jail serving 4 years. Let me tell you something, guys. 4 hours in jail is awful. You can't even imagine what serving out 4 years would be like, particularly for a guy like this, who is been a privileged celebrity his whole life. I mean, I imagine he is absolutely hitting rock bottom here. The thing about it was, though, it was almost like the Harvey Weinstein story and the Epstein story. What Diddy was doing here was like one of those big open secrets that he was having these sex parties, these sex and drugs parties all the time at his different homes with all of these, Hollywood celebrities and people in the music business. And everybody knew about it. And they knew that prostitutes were involved and maybe even minor prostitutes were involved in all this stuff. But because he was so rich and powerful and because, a lot of people had a good time at these parties, everybody kept it kind of quiet. One of those open secrets that nobody wants to really out. And I think, man, I remember a lot of those celebrities when that whole thing broke. Boy, they were really worried about it because they were thinking, oh, am I going to get wrapped up in this thing? And that, probably thinking to themselves, was that prostitute that I went to bed with there at Diddy's place, was she underage? I didn't even think about that. they were sweating it out big time, but then it turns out I don't think any of them are going to get pulled into it, like always.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got some messages here. We got from our boy Ennis, the menace from Ennis. He says, so get rid of the IRS and income tax. Yeah, that's something that Donald Trump's talked quite a bit about. And he was imagining and conceptualizing that if you got enough revenue in from tariffs and other areas, eliminate the income tax. And we did, I forget the year in this country that we started with that income tax, but it hasn't always been here. Okay, it didn't start with our founding. It got put into place at some point. We existed, believe it or not, for quite a while without an income tax, and we could do so again. Don't you think that the government could do with a lot less of our money just based on what you've seen in all this fraud from the last month? We have another message here. Andy in Whitefish says, Diddy is happier than a pig in Adam Schiff. Yeah, you would think, because maybe you think he's a degenerate and all that he would be happy in prison. I promise you, Andy, he's not. The only people that can, fairly adapt well to prison and just go about it with no problem would be these people who are career criminals that have been in and out of these institutions their whole lives. And, it's not a big deal to them. It's just part of their life. any regular citizens that have to go in, I promise you, it's awful. I mean, that's what I did my whole life, and end up talking to so many of these people that were either, you know, interviewing them in prison or when they got out, and it's awful. It is absolutely awful. It's just an awful experience. And it is one of those times where everybody talks about hitting bottom in your life. That's where you know, where you end up sitting in that, whether it's you're actually sentenced to prison or you're just in there, you know, briefly being held. That's where you're taking stock of your life and you know you have hit rock bottom, probably. It's not a good place to be. Let's get back to the big stories of the year. We have another one here. The Menendez brothers were resentenced, but denied parole and denied a new trial. That hit again, that whole story. It was back from the 90s when it originally happened, when they killed their parents. But from streaming services doing these big docudramas on the Menendez brothers, that brought this out to a whole new generation of people that maybe didn't even know about the Menendezes, you know, with that happening almost 30 years ago. And it is stoked interest in their story again. And there were so many people out there that had a different take on it. I can tell you my take from listening to some of the evidence and watching some of the docudrama is I don't think there's any doubt that the old man, that Mr. Menendez, their father, was a jerk. Sure enough, sounded like he was in a lot of way. He was in a lot of ways. He was abusive and not a very nice guy. But it also appears very, very likely and probable. I think the jury saw it that way, that when they found out they were going to get cut out of the will, then they just decided they were just going to kill their mom and dad because they were getting that money. And the killing of their mother and father was just absolutely brutal, just awful. And you can't even imagine somebody could do that to a parent. Really, really awful stuff. And then here's one that I think was, you know, right up there, probably second to the inauguration of Donald Trump, was the assassination of Charlie Kirk. This happened back in September. Really just awful, awful stuff. And stuff that we as Americans don't think should be ever happening in our country, right? We had a bunch of this stuff go on back in the 60s. You guys remember you had MLK and JFK and RFK. There was a rash of this stuff back then. And then people started really taking account of security. And, you know, we thought that we had rid ourselves of this kind of just awful political assassinations. And that's what this was. This was a political assassination because he was murdered because of who he was, because he was a young conservative activist that got young people to pay attention. And it once again highlighted the violence that has been being inflicted on our society by these crazy transsexual lunatics. It seemed like every time you turned around, one of these major crimes and killings was being done by one of these people that identified in that way. And it is shown a light on not only how the media treats them, but then their mental illness. And when you're dealing with people who are already mentally ill, which they are, most of them, and then you have a mainstream media pouring poison into their ears every single day, that whoever it is, Donald Trump or the conservatives or anybody out here, Charlie Kirk is after you. He hates you. He wants to take away your rights. He's a fascist. He's a dictator. He's a Nazi. Then how long does it take of pouring that poison into these people's ears who are already mentally ill before they're ready to climb a clock tower, before they're ready to do something like this. Just awful, awful stuff. But make no mistake, what they hear out here on social media and in the media itself is what drives them to this. Because they think they're under attack by these people. The other big story was this just happened here this month, actually. Rob Reiner and his wife are found murdered in their home by their son. Once again, a kid with mental illness, had been diagnosed with mental illness and, excuse me, a drug habit, a kid who had been in trouble a long, long time. And I think it sounded like he had had a very, very troubled relationship with his dad. They had had numerous public arguments and public fights to the point to where I guess some people had said it was to the point to where they were going to have to step in the middle of it because it looked like it was getting so violent and nasty. And once again, it's just like I was talking about with the transsexuals. When you have people who are already, you know, diagnosed with a mental illness, and then you pour drugs on top of that mental illness, you pour that next thing on top of that fire, you know, pour a big can of gas on that already existing fire, and kaboom. You just don't know what's going to happen with these people. And that's another thing I learned in law enforcement is there's crazy and then there's crazy. I saw a lot of people acting out there, just acting out like they were crazy because they think it gets them a privilege and they think it keeps people away from them. But then I saw other people who are, because of drugs and mental illness, are truly, truly dangerous people. And they will just flip out at the drop of a hat. And the other thing is, too, you learn as a law enforcement officer is that these people don't feel pain. They don't feel that pain the way you and I do. And when you add that a mental illness, you add drugs, and then you add adrenaline on top of that, you've got people that for several minutes sometimes, and this can go on for 5 minutes, where they're almost unstoppable, where they can be hit with pepper spray, a taser, bullets, and it doesn't stop them. And this is very, very frightening stuff for law enforcement officers. I mean, if I've been involved in them and I've seen all the videos, it's very, very scary when you've got somebody like that you have to deal with. Imagine having to deal with that as a citizen, when you've got untrained, unarmed citizens out there. You try to deal with somebody like this. Boy, that is a scary, scary thing. So you start learning to identify and have a little bit of radar of somebody who might be crazy, and you need to just give that person a wide berth and call the authorities. Don't be messing with them yourself, because it is a handful, and even if you win, you're probably going to get hurt.
Fox Sports Update.
And we wrap up 2025 with what else? More college football today and tonight. Five more games. One of them, though, bigger than the others. It's a playoff game. A national quarterfinal. Number 2, Ohio State. Number 10, Miami. In the 90th annual Cotton Bowl. 3 more quarterfinals set for tomorrow, Thursday, New Year's Day. College football on Tuesday. NOT, TCU over number 16, USC. 30-27 in the Alamo Bowl. The Music City Bowl goes to Illinois. 30-28 over Tennessee, and Louisiana Tech 23-14 over Coastal Carolina. That was your Independence Bowl. News out of the NFL, New England Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs now facing charges of strangulation and other counts. All this in connection with a dispute with his former private chef. News of the charges breaking after a court hearing Tuesday in Dedham, Massachusetts. Diggs facing charges of felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery. Now his lawyer, David Meyer, fire, saying in a statement, quote, that Diggs categorically denies the allegations, unquote. Meyer adding the allegations never occurred, calling them unsubstantiated and uncorroborated. A court hearing is set next for the case on January 23rd. This as the Dallas Cowboys waived Stephon Diggs' brother, two-time Pro Bowl cornerback Trayvon Diggs, on Tuesday. He played in the first six games of the season before an accident in his home landed him in concussion protocol. NHL winners last night, Montreal, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Philadelphia, and the New York Islanders. On the NBA courts, Philadelphia, Boston, Detroit, and the LA Clippers coming up with wins. Big sigh of relief from the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic is only going to miss maybe a month after being diagnosed with a hyperextended left knee. He'll be reevaluated in about 4 weeks. I'm Paul Stevens.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay at around 50. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, temperatures will bottom out in the lower to middle 30s. And then the outlook for Thursday does call for a mix of clouds and sunshine, as high temperature readings will stay back into the upper 40s and lower 50s around the region. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jelly heads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking you can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever.
That's The Flatline with Rick Hughes, heard here on News Talk KBUL AM 970, 103.3 FM, every Sunday at 9 a.m.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What's one of the other biggest stories of 2025? In my opinion, I would call it the judicial insurrection. In that we have never seen, not in my lifetime, the absolute lawless actions of an entire cadre of leftist radical judges in this country. We've never seen this ever in our history, what has happened just in these last 11 months from federal judges appointed by Joe Biden and Barack Obama almost every single time. Absolutely issuing ridiculous rulings, lawless rulings that go against the plain written law that are most of the time, almost every time, overturned instantly at either the appeals level or at SCOTUS. But they just keep on doing it. Even in the face of when the Supreme Court will already rule on an issue. And they'll come back, to another judge will come back a month, 2 months, 3 months later and rule again against that issue. When the Supreme Court already said, no, this is the law. But see, they don't care. It's all about, it's about bullying. It's about making Donald Trump look weak. It's about having no fear of the Trump administration. And obviously, it's about obstruction. If they figure, if they can just delay him, you know, him and his people for a month, 2 months, 3 months, then that's their little win. That's their little win right there. And they don't care. See, judges, you know, their reputations a lot of times were based on how solid their rulings were. If you were a judge that got overturned all the time, you were considered to be incompetent and a fool. That was the measure of your competence as a judge, was did your rulings stand? They don't care about that anymore because they're just political activists. Well, yesterday, you had another Biden DEI judge by the name of Angel Kelly ordered President Trump to keep South Sudanese illegals in here by extending their temporary protected status that Joe Biden granted them. And see, that issue has already been ruled on. I think it's not even a month ago. Maybe 2 months ago, the Supreme Court came back on other groups of these illegals and said, no, Joe Biden can extend, can give them a temporary protected status just like Trump can take it away. It is completely within the power of the president to do that. But they, see, they don't care. They're just going to, oh, this is different groups, so it's a different case. And this will immediately, as soon as it gets kicked up likely to the appeals level, it's going to get shut down. And then SCOTUS is just going to come back with a one-page ruling and say, no, we already ruled on that. It's, you know, but they don't care. It's about bullying. And that thing about temporary protected status in big quotes, that's yet another loophole in our immigration law that was completely and utterly abused by Biden and all of his communist minions. They take that power of, because for whatever reason, a country or a group of people has an immediate problem. So we're gonna let you in here real quick, you know, and give you protection here, you know, because of that problem you have, you know, right now, that major catastrophe or whatever it is. Of course, they abuse that law and that little regulation to then let in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these people from the third world. You saw it over and over again, the Haitians, all these guys, just awful.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.